The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. Yesterday, we posted the first half of a sermon by Elder John Morgan Owens on the topic of justification. He began teaching us from Scripture that there are three different justifications taught in the Bible. Justification by grace is accomplished in the courtroom of heaven by the sacrifice of Christ alone. Justification by faith occurs in the courtroom of our hearts and minds when we believe and trust what Christ has done for us. And justification by works occurs in the courtroom of men's opinions when we live out our faith visibly in this time world. Join us today as we see the conclusion of this message and the concept of justification rightly divided.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Sing your song again, whatever may pass and will.
So to be justified by faith is when you understand through the eye of faith what Jesus Christ has already done for you, okay? And this is in the courtroom of your own mind. When you're struggling with your sins, when you're struggling with your brokenness, you know, we all have to go through this from time to time. And we're struggling and we need comfort. We need encouragement. And it's and this battle is all taking place right in your mind because your seat in heaven is sure. In the blood of Jesus Christ, that's all taken care of. The problem is that you're sweating it sometimes and you're worried. What you need is justification by faith, okay? To sit there and through faith, look at the promises of God, see the fruit in your own life of the fruit of the of faith, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, and then trust again that, that God who promised is able to deliver, okay? Let's go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. I think it describes this pretty well. He says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's what it's all about. Okay, that's what justification by faith is all about. It's not about getting your seat in heaven. It's about having peace. Okay? Your seat in heaven is there because of the grace, the justification by grace that we're talking about. This is another... Another jurisdiction, if you will. This is another issue that we have, is we need peace because we doubt and we struggle. And what justification by faith is leaning back again and saying, it's not of my works that I got to heaven to begin with. It was of the work of Jesus Christ. That is being saved, but not being saved from your sins. It's just being saved from the bondage of thinking or misunderstanding or whatever the case may be that you're somehow not going to be there, right? Justification by faith is leaning on what Christ has already done. And it says, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Okay, so I've illustrated this before. Like this, but grace, the concept of grace, the very real thing of grace, that God has saved us from our sins. Imagine this, imagine that wealth being saved from your sins, that grace as your bank account, okay? Now, you know, we know that ultimately when you put money in the bank and it's basically just digital numbers, you know, and you can check your bank account on your phone or whatever, or they can, you know, print out a little ticket and shows you your or give you a statement. You know, that is a, you know, how do you access? How do you actually access the funds in that account? Well, you do it through a check, right? You write a check and you can access those funds, or you can use a debit card or something like that. Well, in the similar way, this grace that God has given you is this wealth of a bank account. And how do you access that? You know, you are worth whatever's in your bank account. That doesn't change based on who you are or different variables. But, you know, you accessing that is different. Okay, so God saved us by grace, but it's by faith that you understand it. And it's by faith that you can be reassured. And so, you know, maybe you're like Abraham and you needed a little reassurance. And maybe Satan's coming along and he's telling you what a wicked sinner you are. And you begin to believe him and think, well, maybe I'm not going to heaven. You know? Does that change the fact that God has already paid for your sins on the cross? Does that change that you're one of his written in his will? And that you are going to receive that massive inheritance? No, it doesn't change that. But you're having a battle of your mind. And so what you need is you need to access that account again through faith. And that's when you come and you pray to God and you read His Scripture and you're reminded again that Jesus Christ saved you from your sins. And that's being justified by faith again, okay? Not, justified from your sins, but justified from doubt, saved from and delivered from the wiles of this evil world. All right, and then Luke 18 is another example of this. Luke 18 and verse 10, Jesus teaches us a concept here on prayer, but we can learn a lot of things from this. It says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Where's the prayer there? You know, this man is talking about all how good he is and how bad this other man is. And then in contrast to that, Jesus teaches us about this guy, this publican. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now that's a prayer, isn't it not? I don't know what that other man was praying, what he was thinking. He didn't really say anything about God and about God's goodness. He was talking about his goodness. But this publican, in the humility of his spirit, he comes before God and he says, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus asks us this question. Oh, he actually says it. He doesn't ask a question. He says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So when these two men come and they pray, and this publican prays this actual prayer, right, where he asks God for mercy, Jesus says, when that man went back to his house, when both of these men went back to their house, which one was justified? The publican, the man that came before God in humble spirit and prayed for mercy. He said that man went back home justified. Now, did he go back home justified from his sins before a righteous and holy God? No, because Jesus accomplished that on the cross. But he was justified by faith. He was justified in his own mind, okay? This Pharisee who prayed about himself, essentially prayed to himself, he didn't get anything from that, okay? But this other man got to experience the presence of God and the mercy of God because he prayed to God. You see, there's a difference between being justified from your sins by grace and being justified in your mind and in your heart and in your conscience in faith, okay? God does the saving, but here in time, as we're walking through this life and you're like this publican and you don't feel yourself to be worthy of the promises of God, you know what you need? You need the justification by faith of coming to God in prayer and experiencing Him again and being reminded again that because of what He's done for you, that you will be there in heaven. It's not about pride to say that I know I'm going to be there in heaven, right? What it is it is a confident statement in the deliverance of your Savior. Justification by faith is not to be saved from your sins. It is being saved in your own mind of from the torture of not knowing whether you're truly saved or not. Okay? That's really what it is. All right. Now let's talk about works. And the remaining time we have, the book of James, chapter 2, and let's look at verse 21 of James chapter 2. He tells us this. He says, was not Abraham our father justified by works? Uh-oh. So we've talked about justification by grace. We talked about how Abraham was justified by faith. Well, this says, was he not also justified by works? Was he not justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. We just read about that. And he was called the friend of God. This is the key, okay? When Abraham goes and God tells him, God says, I want you to offer up Isaac on the altar. And Abraham in faith, right? Believing that God was able to deliver, all right? So, in that specific instance that he's talking about, that faith was imputed to him for righteousness. We read in the New Testament that Abraham had so much faith in God that he knew, if God asked me to do this, and God has promised me that boy, he is able to raise him up from the dead. And so in his own mind, he was justified by faith. Okay, he was assured of the promises of God. But this says, but look, he was also justified by works. Okay, because he didn't just say it. He didn't just think it in his head. He was willing to commit and actually carry it out by his works. Now think about how this applies to us in your discipleship of God. Or do you have faith in God? Do you have faith such that you are willing to do the things that God asks of us to do? I'm ashamed. I don't know if I have that. I certainly pray and hope that I do, that I have enough faith in God, enough commitment to Him, that I will actually not just say it in my head or to say it out loud, but I will actually go and do it, right? And notice that as Abraham does this, as Abraham goes and he puts Isaac on the altar, he's got the knife up, everything, and God delivers. What is the consequence to Abraham? What does justification by works mean? Okay. Does good works, we've already established this, does good works get you into heaven? No. Does bad works get you out of heaven? No. Does faith get you into heaven? No. Faith is given to you after you already are alive. Okay? So we're dealing with a different courtroom here. And we're talking about works, we're talking about man's opinions. Okay? So in grace, we're talking about you're standing before a righteous and holy God. In faith, we're talking about the battle in your own mind. And in works, we're talking about what everybody else sees of you. Okay? And that makes sense, right? People can't see what's going on in your head. They can only see what you do, right? And so we've said that before. You know, people don't care what you know until they know that you care, right? Till you show certain things, certain works, people don't know what's in your head. And so this is why we see this. It said, and he was called the friend of God. You see, in the mind of other people's opinions of Abraham, you know, it wasn't just that Abraham believed God in his own head. People called Abraham the friend of God. Why? Because he did the works. Okay? Now, think about how that applies to you in your walk. You know, maybe you're sitting there at work and you've got faith, right? You've got faith in your head. And you're already saved by grace on the cross. But people don't know that you're the friend of God because you don't have the works to show it, right? And so there's a sense in which if you live a life that's just garbage in, garbage out, right? You know, and all that you do is you're mean to people and you talk bad and use filthy language and you treat people bad and you do all these things that God told us not to do. Look, does that diminish the grace of Christ? No. But what it does do is that other people, when they look at you, and in the courtroom of man's, the public opinion of you, is that, man, I don't really know if that was a child of God or not, right? And in that way, you are not justified before men in that way. Acts chapter 11 also kind of illustrates this. Acts 11, verse 25, says, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. It's really the first time we read about that word Christians. I mean, we all consider ourselves Christians today. Well, that is a term. It's not a term that we came up with. It is a term that was given to us. It says, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That is a badge of honor to be called a Christian. You see, you get it. You don't just get to come and say, I am a Christian. Okay? Ultimately, that is a determination that is made in man's opinions, in the courtroom of man's opinions. It is something that is given to you. You know, it's like somebody making up their own nickname, right? That doesn't work, right? A nickname is something that's given to you. The term Christian is something that people around you should be able to give you, okay? You shouldn't have to tell people that you're a Christian in order for them to understand that you're a Christian. So that's being justified by works. We know that we're not getting in heaven because of our works or getting out of heaven because of our works. But listen, you can encourage or you can discourage people by your works. And look, you know, if I go out, let's use this example. If I go out into the world and by my works I do things that make me look like I'm not a follower of Christ, what does that do for y'all, right? What does that do to our brothers and sisters here? It is a discouragement. All of a sudden, we don't have that opinion, you know, that this man is justified. We say, this man, I don't know, you know. So being justified by works in this sense is in the courtroom of people's opinions of you, okay? And it's important, okay? Just because it doesn't get you into heaven doesn't mean it's not important. We need to be careful about not just what's in our head, not just about the faith that we have in our private discipleship. We need to be concerned about the things that we do. Because in the things that we do, that's how everybody else knows where we stand. Okay? You know, if I go up here and I preach about something and then I go out at work tomorrow or whatever the case may be and I do the exact opposite of what I've said, what am I doing? I'm not being justified by my works. I'm not showing forth good works that are encouraging to others. And think about how that applies to you, okay? So when you look in Scripture and you see the word justified, don't always immediately assume that that word means saved from your sins. You know, there is times when it means that. We know that based on other Scripture and the harmony of the Old and the New Testaments, that you are saved from your sins by the grace of Jesus Christ. All right, so that's justification by grace. And then justification by faith, as I mentioned before, that's within the battleground of your own mind and getting assurance and believing in faith the promises that God has already done and that He's delivered on in grace, okay? And then works is how you show that out to the world, okay? Do you want to be... You know, you think about this at your funeral, okay? Do you want somebody to come up there, or do you want the preacher to have to say, "Well, you know, their sermon may be a little different if you didn't have good works in your life"? You know, it's by good works that we see fruit in each other's lives. Okay, I want to see good fruit in our lives. I want to see good fruit in your life. I want fruit to be abounding in my life to be before your eyes. To be justified. And I want the same for you, right? I don't want us to have to sit there and wonder, well, you know, Brother so-and-so really went off and we just don't really know where they stand anymore. I want everybody to know where I stand, right? At my funeral, I don't want people to have to get up here and to hem-haw around about whether I'm going to be in heaven or not, right? You know? I want the preacher who preaches my funeral to have some material to work with, okay? You know? And that's, you know, if that helps you, that motivates you, then great. But ultimately, know this, that justification is not as complex as it seems in Scripture. You can go through and read through Romans, and you can get yourself all tied up, okay? And well, it says grace here. It says faith here. It says works here. Look, you are justified by grace before God and Jesus Christ. You're justified by faith when you believe on what he's done, right? It doesn't get you into heaven, but it sure does help you have a smoother ride here, right? And then you're justified by works in the sight of the others around you when you do good things, right? It doesn't get you into heaven. I hope that's an encouragement to you, and I know that it was a little scatterbrained, so if you have any questions, feel free to ask.
Thank you for joining us today on the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. I hope the message has been uplifting and beneficial to you, and that the Lord will continue to bless you to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. Join us again tomorrow for another message of God's sovereign grace. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.